All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have, I think we have everyone we're expecting, and more importantly, a quorum. Okay, so let's call this Thursday, September 14th, 2017 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Chairman Noe.
Here.
Chair Randall. Chairman Bulba.
Here.
Chair Fassett.
Here.
Mayor Silverberg.
Here.
Mayor Parrish.
Here.
Mayor Meyer.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Mayor Rochelle.
Here.
Senator Black. Delegate Hugo.
Here.
Delegate Minshew.
Here.
Ms. Hines.
Here.
Mr. Cole.
Here.
Mayor Burke. Ms. Cuervo.
Here.
Mr. Horsley. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. Next before us, we have the minutes of the July 13 meeting, which sent out in advance. Any questions, comments on those?
So moved.
Second.
Motion for approval from Mr. Parrish, seconded by Ms. Bulova. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
One abstention.
Abstention from Mr. Snyder. Okay. We actually have a pretty brief agenda tonight, so we can get everyone out of here pretty early, I think. But this is important and somewhat time critical. Ms. Backman, we have the comments on the proposed modifications to the Smart Scale process.
Mr. Chairman, the CTB and the Secretary of Transportation's office have been working on efforts to modify the Smart Scale process. As you know, it was adopted in it was called HB2, adopted in the 2014 General Assembly session. There were two presentations given on the proposed changes to the Commonwealth Transportation Board on June 21st and July 18th, respectively. On August 21st, a draft updated Smart Scale policy and technical guide was published. So in trying to develop your comments for this evening, I did coordinate with the RJAC regarding some of the comments on the potential changes. I do want to note that there will be a public meeting, town hall style, on the proposed changes to the Smart Scale process here in Northern Virginia next Monday at the VDOT Northern Virginia District Office from 4 to 6 p.m. However, the time extension for comments, the comments are actually due, what is the drop date? October 20th. So we do have some additional time to provide comments. We expect the CTB to take action on the proposed changes at their October meeting. Having said that, I think there in your packet there are about 11 proposed changes that we wanted to touch on this evening. I won't walk through each and every one of them, especially the project eligibility one, since the authority we're recommending support of that particular the particular changes there. I do want to start with some of the ones that we had robust discussions with the jurisdictional and agency staff. Starting with application limits. Currently, there are no application limits for the Smart Scale process, so they've been evaluating the Commonwealth Secretary's Office. VDOT have been evaluating as many applications that they have as they have received. Deputy Secretary Donahue has said that has become an issue. It's overly cumbersome, and it requires a lot of resources to evaluate an unlimited amount of applications. So the proposed changes will note limiting localities with the population greater than 200,000 and regional entities with the population greater than 500,000. If you have a population less than 200,000, limiting to 4 applications, a population greater than 500,000, limiting to 8 applications. I do want to note that during the Secretary's presentation or Deputy Secretary's presentation, he did use Fairfax as an example. He said that Fairfax on average has submitted approximately 7 or 8 applications, and they said if the largest locality in the Commonwealth can submit that, you know, that 7 or 8, that was really the threshold that they were looking for. In talking to the jurisdictional and agency staff, the concern with the limited number of applications is the concern about the diverse and high level of transportation needs here in Northern Virginia. They're concerned that limiting the number of applications could create a conflict with the provision in HB 2313, which requires that even though that we being Northern Virginia and again Hampton Roads have HB 2313 revenues, we should still receive our fair share of state transportation funding. So there was a concern regarding putting any cap on the application process. Also, the recommended cap gets to population. We would like to know how is the Commonwealth, what methodology are they using, Weldon Cooper or so forth, what instrument are they using regarding calculation of population? And that should be an easy one. Lastly, we would want some clarity regarding some of the transit entities, in particular VRE, because applicants that traverse more than one metropolitan planning area or planning district, such as VRE, we want to know who can submit an application and who is limited. So if MBTC submits an application for VRE, which they have done so in the past, does that count under MBTC submission, or how is it tallied regarding the total count? So we would like some clarity there. Moving on to project readiness. So the current proposal recommends formalizing and strengthening the policy on required level of project planning by requiring specific supporting documentation needed for projects. An example would be an interchange justification report. Now, we had a long discussion about this particular point. The reason being is the Commonwealth developed a 6-year improvement program, and you could seek funds in the out years. The concern was the level of documentation required for an interchange justification report. You may not have that as an applicant if you're submitting for in FY19, but you're applying for money in FY2026. You may not have that level of documentation that an interchange justification report with preferred alternatives provide. And they said that is definitely a concern for them. And also, based on what localities and agencies hear at public comment, your project may change a little bit. Your alignment may change. You know, the scope of the project, there may be some changes. And to have all of that up front for a 6-year program seems to be problematic. The additional requirement under project readiness is also recommends that localities provide a resolution supporting the project as part of the application process. And again, everyone is okay with providing a resolution, but they want to ensure that they've had proper vetting time with the public and undergone a lot of the processes, and they don't want to be cut out of contention for funding because they haven't undergone the IJR or something of that nature. And we will not, and I also received comments regarding the expense that it requires to undergo an IJR process. I'm just pausing to see if I'll hear any comments. So another item regarding project readiness is requiring a resolution from MBTA for every project that is submitted for Smart Scale. Now, this one was interesting because for the authority, we evaluate projects that are in your long-range transportation plan. That is not a requirement. Being in the authority's long-range transportation plan is not a requirement for a Smart Scale application. So asking the authority to prioritize or make a recommendation on the merits of a particular project, especially one that's not in transaction, we wouldn't have any data to provide, essentially, to speak to the merits of the project. I did speak to Deputy Secretary Donahoe about this particular issue, and he says, well, the authority as the regional entity, he wanted to make sure they were buy-in, and we appreciate that. But for us, our projects have to be in transaction. If the project is not in transaction, we won't have any data regarding the merits of the project that we've generated internally. Funding policy. The current proposal recommends clarifying in the policy that Smart Scale funding is not intended to replace other committed funding sources, such as local funding, coffers, and/or committed state or federal funding sources. The Commonwealth staff has stated that this would not include mega projects that cost more than $1 billion. We would like clarity and some sort of definition on what committed funding sources mean. This has been a source of a lot of discussion. I have heard that when a locality submits an application, is that the committed funding source? My response would be no regarding the MBTA, because you don't have a commitment until you adopt a funding program. So we would like some specificity and clarity on what committed funding source means.
Let me jump in on this. This is to me the one issue in here that I care a lot. I mean, I think so that we can comment on and ask for more clarification. This is the one that has a huge impact on us. Because as a matter of policy, we adopt our funding program after the CTB adopts the 6-year plan. And we do that because what we don't want to do is adopt our program and then have the CTB use our program as a way to say, well, we don't need to fund that because MBTA is funding it. It's how we make sure we get our fair share of the state funds by getting them to make commitments first. I don't want a situation where, because we haven't adopted our 6-year plan, a project that relies on funding from both the state and the authority is defined as being not committed funds, because we're going to adopt 30 days later. And if that means there has to be a special carve-out for MBTA projects, it's unique to us. No other region of the state has to ask that question. But
Marty, let me play devil's advocate on this, because I've been noodling on this for a while.
Yeah.
Spent some time talking to lots of jurisdictional staff last week in my CTV role. And the question I have, is this a problem that actually will persist once we have a 6-year plan? Because the CTB money is being adopted out here in year 6, and our 6-year plan is going to be fill in that gap, not but just in terms of time. And so once we have our plan in place, does this question go into abeyance and become far less of an issue?
It seems to me that if the way they want to look at this is, we're going to put money in year 6, and they're willing to accept that, and we have every reason to believe there will be committed funds at that time, recognizing that if the funds are no longer there at that time, they can pull the money back, then that probably isn't a problem.
I think what we want to do is have a pretty detailed timing conversation around this to assure ourselves that we all understand. Because right now, I think it's the timing is part of what the issue is. And we keep forgetting that smart scale money doesn't show up for 6 years.
But you know, yeah, so the question is, what does committed mean?
That's
we
right.
think
and,
we know what a dictionary definition is, but that's probably not the definition.
Right, and when is smart scale? You know, we're going to award smart scale for 2 years, right, and then we're going to come back 2 years later and do the next tranche. And once it's awarded, can people take that to the bank? Was a question we heard, you know, do they have to wait till they get to that year to take it to the bank? How does that all work in terms of project? And you're right, it's unique to us and potentially to a few Hampton Road projects. And beyond that, nobody else has this question.
Well, and the other option, this is something to take back to the CTB in considering this. There's another relevant point. Sometimes those committed funds might be local funds. So in fewer than 6 years, regardless of what's going on, in fewer than 6 years, there will be an election in that locality. New Board of Supervisors, new city council comes in, decides this project's no longer a priority, we decommit the funds. Now, CTB can then decommit those funds. That's the easy part. But in that regard, because a sitting elected body cannot compel a future elected body to not rescind their previous actions, nothing's really ever. Things are just as committed as they're going to get.
Jay and I understand
that. Yeah, I do. So this is just the issue. I don't want a future authority board to get jammed up.
Well, no, and so I think we need to. But I think this is a question of how do people think about when these awards are made and how sure is there and how does our funding cycle interact with theirs.
Not only is there going to be changes in elected leadership over a 6-year period, but the residential populations around these transportation centers are very dynamic, and they can change significantly during the 6-year period.
No, and I would add that we want to ensure that Northern Virginia has the maximum opportunity in leveraging funding sources as part of the programming process, so we don't want that to fall off the radar either. Regarding congestion, the current proposal recommends modifying the congestion measure to account for an increase in person miles traveled allowed by the project within the capacity of the facility. However, there wasn't detail regarding the methodology on how any proposed modifications would be undertaken. So we would like to see some sort of methodology, number one, before we would say, hey, this is a great idea, if you will, regarding any proposed changes. We also want to ensure that the proposed changes ensures an apples-to-apples comparison across the board for all types of projects. Economic development and site development. The proposal recommends several changes to economic development measure, including providing up to a half point for a project within an economically distressed area. Also considering the establishment of maximum square footage based on a project type and based on current level of development. The comment is regarding the economically distressed area, the authority, we should have some concerns about providing points to economically distressed areas solely based on zip codes. And I think that's part of the proposal, because projects that are in economically distressed areas in the locality in general as a whole should be considered instead of just by a zip code. And we would like some more information on revitalization in areas that localities are trying to redevelop. Do they constitute or would they qualify regarding these economically distressed areas? So we would like some clarification on that as well. Moving on to land use, I will just say in talking to the staff, no one understood the proposed changes to the land use section, the land use methodology. We had several of your top staff members say, I just don't understand what the changes mean. So we would like some clarification regarding what do the proposed land use changes mean for the whole smart scale evaluation process. Excuse me. Regarding accessibility, the proposal recommends the elimination of the 45 and 60 minute cap for auto. I think there was a typo on it, Noelle.
Yes. It already is based on travel, a time decay function, but currently it's the further you are, you get less points based on that decay function, but then there was a cutoff at 45 and 60 minutes respectively. The policy keeps that decay function, but removes that 45 and 60 minute cap. And I think people wanted to know here how exactly that would impact the access to jobs in our area, and further how exactly where the decay curve lies, that that's not exactly clear in the policy. So more information is requested about that.
And then getting to another point where more information is requested is the proposed factors that will be used regarding the evaluation of freight rail. Again, that's one where staff recommends seeing some methodology on how these projects will be undertaken. Lastly is schedule. This is another point that your staff had a lot of comments about. They said you really start applying for Smart Skill a year and a half or so prior to the actual submission of the application. And again, this gets back to the point I was making about the requirement under project readiness to have the interchange justification report. They said that it's too much detail is being requested on the front end, high-level detail for a process that it's a six-year funding program, but they're requiring deep levels of detail early on, even before you submit your application, to see if the Commonwealth will even evaluate your application. And those are the high points. There were additional points regarding proper changes and so forth, but my recommendation is to let the localities respond to any changes regarding the proper language.
Any discussion on this? Any questions, comments?
So, Mr. Chairman, I would just want to share with you that when I got my packet for our meeting next week, which is, by the way, here in Reston, so y'all are invited if you want to come listen to us on Tuesday or Wednesday, that on a couple of the points that Monica has raised, changes have are proposed to the CTB that I think move in the direction that we're already asking for in the letter. And I suspect there's going to be quite a bit of conversation about this at the meeting. We've all been having our hearings and talking to our folks. So the question I would ask you is whether or not you really want to do this month, or whether, because the MBTA will be meeting prior to our meeting in October, which is the last week of the month of October, whether you might want to hold your punch a little bit. The jurisdictions have all been heard from. And Maria Center did a nice summary of all of the points that people made. And this is really, I'll just say, having sat through the 6 hours or so with the jurisdictions, they did an excellent job of representing all of these points. So Gary and Scott and I heard them all and are taking them into the meeting. The question is, does MBTA want to wait and be the last bite of the apple after we see the proposals for change that that are coming out this week? So it's really for you to decide. Because I think, you know, you fairly identified all the places people were confused, and I think we're going to be getting more information. And it might be better to wait, but it's really the authority's decision.
Just a question. I'm not sure I understand. Mary, help me just a little bit. If you've heard from jurisdictions and you're about to make changes, you'll be making those changes next week?
No. So we have an update next week, Hal. CTB meets Tuesday and Wednesday. I have the preview package, and I've been through the Smart Scale presentation. There are a number of updates to the recommendations that have come from the administration, which address things in the letter where you're raising questions. I don't know if the answers will be sufficient. And so what I'm suggesting is you could hold the authorities punch to get a chance to look at those and talk about them again and send something in, because the comment period runs until October 20th. And so you could come in with sort of the last word, which would be the regional thing, because there's a lot of questions here as opposed to we really like this or we really hate it. And it would be my hope that we can get some of those questions worked through between now and when we have to vote in October. And it just so happens that the CTB's meeting is after the authorities by almost 10 days with a delay in October. So it's really your call. I just think doing it once with as close to the definitive information might be useful.
Let me just follow up just a second. So you all will be taking up the questions and proposals that the jurisdictions have provided next week.
We're going to, my plan with Gary and Scott is we're going to cull through these and try to identify the ones that are most peculiar to Northern Virginia, most important to Northern Virginia. We're hearing the one about intersection, you know, the shelf life of studies. Everybody in the Commonwealth is saying that. So our goal would be to identify those things that matter the most.
Wouldn't you prefer to have our comments since you're working on them?
I have comments from all the jurisdictions because we met pretty much everybody.
Right. But wouldn't you prefer to have the MBTA comments while you're working on those?
Well, I have a draft.
Yes.
It's up to you. I just offered it because some of the things that are in here are going to be resolved.
So,
okay.
But we don't necessarily know that.
And I don't know. I mean, I know what the proposal is, Sharon, but I don't know what my colleagues are bringing to the table either. And so fixing some of this is, as you well know, in a board of 14, fixing some of this is who else are you kind of lined up with and can you...
So, therefore, I'm thinking we should submit our questions just to be on the record.
The same thing. We should be there while they're considering it instead of after they consider it. They may not consider it as stealthily, as strongly if we're later.
Now, I would just say, what's more powerful? Two letters? Or once you know where we're going, one letter to say, we are not happy with this, we're not happy with this. I don't know. Because in this end, you may send this letter and then find out they make other changes that you don't like either, and you're going to have to send another letter. So is it better to have that one powerful letter or multiple? I don't know. You're on the CTB, Mary, so I don't know what you think would be more powerful.
Well, I will just say that, you know, as with anybody, there's a negotiation that goes on. And one of the reasons we three CTB members decided to do the meetings we did last week with all of your staff was to allow us to get our ducks in a row to go into the meeting and really be clear about the things we need answers on relative to Northern Virginia that are unique to Northern Virginia. So we could see change as a result of that. But we also have to get colleagues around the table. And, you know, what I'm saying, I guess what I'm saying to you is, God bless Monica and Noel for doing all this work. But there's nothing new here. This is a compilation and a distillation of your staff's comments that you would all be blessing, which is fine if that's what you want to do.
It seems to me that we should be blessing as a body representing, you know, jurisdictions. But a question, if then after the CTB work is done, is there anything to preclude our commenting on an amended letter? Yeah,
you
a second
letter. Send another letter because the comment period is open till the 20th.
So, let me suggest a way forward on this perhaps. I think it's correct to say a lot of the comments are, we would like more information. So I'll agree with Sharon on this, that I think it's great to say, I think it's very appropriate, even if it is redundant, it's appropriate to say, we like more information, because we do it. Perhaps we could move forward this tonight with an appendage, appendation? I don't know. Additional words. Should sound so smart, it would really backfire. Additional language that acknowledges that we may have more refined comments upon getting more detail that is expected to be forthcoming. And here's the other catch, is that tonight this is actually the only action item we have, but it has some time criticalness because we don't meet again thereafter. I think we have 9 action items next month.
As of now.
So we're not going to have time to have this discussion because those other things are all going to feel a lot more critical than this. Transaction is one of those things. It's just one of the 9 items next month. So I think what I'd rather do is send this forward now, acknowledging in the letter that we may have additional comments, so that if we want to refine it at the next meeting, it can be a consent agenda item at that point. Does that make sense?
That way
I handle
it. It's our only action item.
Yeah. I don't really, it's a wasted evening.
I think based on the conversation, it's pretty likely we're going to want to comment, even if it's to thank them for,
thank you for
some of the changes. But, you know, I think we're going to want to do a short letter next time as well.
You know, someone who doesn't have staff who's been looking at this and living with it, you know, for me to try to digest this has been a little bit challenging. I guess one of the questions I have there been some of these questions been asked to the Deputy Secretary?
Yes, directly. I've had conversations with him, and some he totally agreed with regarding clarity on what committed funding meant. The application cap and the desire to not have one, he did not agree with, and I understand that. So we have had conversations, and he said he would take certain things under consideration, but the one point I think from my conversation with Deputy Secretary, the application cap, he said that's a hard one for him to try to recommend removing.
And I think that's going to be a big topic of conversation at the CTB. I'll be very honest about that, and I've been thinking about it a lot because I very much understand the position that many of our jurisdictions have taken, that we should not have a cap. I don't know that the votes are going to be there for not having a cap. So I've been trying to think of an alternative, and I will share with you my latest idea, because that's all it is my latest idea. But it involves how transit agencies are counted. Because right now, as I understand it, certain transit agencies are considered eligible to make applications and others are not. And the example that I've been using, and pardon me, Allison, for using it, is that DASH is a totally separate agency from the City of Alexandria, whereas Fairfax Connector and ART are absolutely totally government controlled. And does that make a difference in applications? Right now, people think it does, that DASH could put in for and Alexandria could put in for. Whether that's really true or not, I don't know, but that's what people think. And so one of the thoughts is to try to look at that issue and say transit agencies get you another number of applications. Maybe not the whole number, maybe 50%. So in Fairfax's case, that would mean 12 applications instead of 8 applications. For Arlington, it would mean some, you know, and Alexandria would get some number. It's an idea. It's an idea I think could work statewide, because there are a lot of local governments that are running small transit agencies, but more work needs to be done. So I offer that as that may be a way that we get past where we are into something else that works, that acknowledges some of us are doing both roads and transportation and transit in a significant way. So, you know, I just don't think the votes are going to be there to talk, to have no caps. I could be wrong.
Tim, sure.
And Chairman, I don't know if it's for you or Mary. Is CTB the final arbiter on this, or is, does it have to go to the governor or the General Assembly? Or, I mean, will they, for the petition that we would be making, who is the final decision?
CTB.
This is
CTB.
My understanding is that all of these changes are fully within CTB's
budget. And one more question. For the, I said mentioned Crawfords. Is there anything within that that's topical? I mean, that's been an issue of a lot of discussion over the last year. I know you said it's kind of, we kind of went by it a little bit.
Delegate Hugo, within the plan, within the draft program, it says that it goes back to the committed funds discussion. You cannot use these funds for other committed funds, and it specifically named localities, regional funding, or Crawfords. And what the discussion was, and Ms. Hines, if I'm incorrect in this one, please correct me, in the situation where a jurisdiction may have had a project proffered, but then they, even though it's been proffered for, they then apply for Smart Scale. So in that case, the funding that was proffered or the product that might have been proffered no longer has to be, the state is paying for it instead of the developer or the development.
I think that's backwards, Noel. So if there's proffer money sitting there that goes towards your match, you count that in your application as money that's already on the project.
Yes, and that's what this is trying to say. You can't then use the state money to supplant what was proffered.
This is a supplanting issue. Speaking with Deputy Secretary Donahue, he said it's a supplanting issue that they were concerned about. Localities and agencies really had other funding sources on a project, but then submitted for the Smart Scale process and then received the Smart Scale funding. So they removed the other funding sources, including the proffers.
That's what they're trying to avoid.
Keep the mix of funds on the project that the jurisdiction offers when it applies for Smart Scale. That's the
kind of follow up to Delegate Hugo's question. Let's pick on cash proffers for a second. Each cash proffer is tied to some words in a proffer statement. Sometimes you have a cash proffer that says, this money shall be spent by the Board of Supervisors on anything that reduces congestion on Route 7. Then you got some that are just really laser focused.
A left turn lane that is 112 feet long. And intersection.
So I guess this is really a question for our local government authority members, that I wouldn't want the CTB to musician and say, well, County X, you're sitting on a big chunk of change that we know you can spend during this project you sought money for, and the locality has the right to say, with all due respect, we have the right to spend this on anything that we deem inappropriate on this huge corridor. We don't have to allocate it for this project. Therefore, don't give us a demerit point if we choose not to allocate these funds toward this project. I want to make sure that
I don't think that's the issue, because I think that becomes an issue if the locality says we have these private funds and we offer them up for this project.
In order to get,
you can't
the
then pull
benefit
them back.
Yeah. In order
and
to get your cost
that's
benefit down.
Yeah.
That's
the gap.
Okay.
And you could theoretically have a situation where, because it's the money 6 years out, you could say, well, we'll have this proffer money. Then the development never gets built. It would then fall to the locality to find other funds
right.
to backfill, not just change the cost benefit.
Because remember, it's getting selected based on its score, on its cost benefit.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate the conversation here. And it does seem to be more action to be taken and certainly a lot more discussion, as Mary had indicated, and perhaps further conversation here next month. But I do move approval of the attached comments and proposed modifications to Smart Scale. I'd also suggest that the executive director and the chairman work together to formulate a means of communicating the fact that we'll probably have further comments, but those comments should go along with this to the Secretary of Transportation on behalf of the MBTA.
I second the motion.
Motion by Mr. Parr, second by Ms. Bullitt. Any further discussion?
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Parr. Thanks. So I want to review a couple of issues. In many cases, we're consistent with this proposed action. In other cases, not. We're very concerned about the crowding out effect without some kind of limits on the number of applications. And so we can't support the position that there will, that the authority does not support limits. Secondly, we don't support the proposed change requiring localities to obtain a resolution support from the regional body. Proposed changes on required levels of project funding are excessive. Proposed scoring changes, we don't support the changes that would scale person throughput measure based on corridor length. Site plans, we don't support the proposed changes there. Accessibility to non-work jurisdictions, we support adding a new method of new methodology for accessibility to Piedmont work destinations. City does not support the elimination of 45 to 60 minute caps for auto and transit access. And access to jobs by mode, proposed changes to Smart Scale include calculating accessibility to jobs by mode for auto and transit modes only. We think that's an unnecessary limitation. So we find ourselves supportive and in some cases, and not supportive of some of the statements in the proposed authority action, so I'll vote against it.
Anything else?
Can I clarify one thing, Dave? I didn't catch all of them in the middle, but the eligibility, what you were saying was you do support a cap. You don't want it open-ended. Is that right?
Yeah. The concern is smaller jurisdictions being crowded out.
But that's, I think, what the proposal is. The proposal is, am I not right?
He's commenting on our position.
Yeah,
the proposal is to impose a cap. The position we're voting on says do not impose a cap, while Church is disagreeing with the authority's
yes.
position.
So he opposes our opposition to that.
Yes.
He supports the proposal.
Which is okay. Which is reasonable, actually, because I actually have mixed feelings about the cap.
Wait a minute. Okay. Page 2, right? That's the project eligibility?
No, it's under application limits.
Under application limits.
Yes.
That explains it. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
A no from Snyder?
Abstention.
An abstention from Potts. Fantastic. All right. Information items. Planning and Programming Committee report is mine. There's a written report in there. We had a, I won't get into the details, we had a PPC meeting. No specific action came out of it, some guidance to staff on some last-minute work on transaction. The main thing we did is reviewed transaction comments. Keith has probably some feedback she wants to share with the group here on this. Or
It's your prerogative, Mr. Chairman.
Why don't you give us very high-level highlights of the comments?
At a very high level, if I could draw your attention in the attachment to Table 1, we grouped the comments into 11 logical categories, summarized the number of comments against each of those categories, and then as you read through the rest of the attachment, we essentially give a response to the comments in the topic rather than to individual comments, the attachment concludes with a concluding statement that explains the context for inclusion of projects in transaction, why MBTA staff consider it's important to retain all the projects that are in the transaction project list, and justifies that on the basis of how the authority approaches the funding of regional projects, which would be the point at which it recommendations for which projects to advance when the approval funding will become more apparent. So that's the very high level view. I'm happy to go into any more detail, including the big list over there which Ms. Spear has of all the 600 plus comments.
Just hold it up. Anyone who wants to sit, you're having trouble sleeping this week, get a copy and we'll stay up all night. We'll let you do it. Okay. Any questions on that?
On slides 6 and 8, hoping the word messaging includes a continuation of the authority's lobbying efforts.
I think that's a part of the next item.
Which item are we on?
We're on item 5, Planning and Programming Committee.
Oh, I thought we were on the 5-year strategic plan development update.
No, not yet.
Okay.
That's next. Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I do want to remind you again, as you stated, we've been saying for, I guess, the past 3 years now, at your October meeting, we will ask you to adopt transaction and approve the issue with, for the call for projects for your 6-year program. Just as a follow up.
For the October meeting, is that in here? I see something on the transaction plans. Is there something coming, or is that in
here? It's coming for action October 12th.
Is the document in here today?
Oh, no. We just presented the committee report.
This is just a draft overview. Okay, yes. Thank you very much.
So are the 600 comments, I know we can request a copy, either in paper or electronically. Are the 600 comments captured someplace that someone can easily get access to them?
They will be very shortly.
They'll be posted to nvttransaction.org.
We're not going to launch the website today, but
it's close. Okay. So those will be publicly available.
Yes.
Okay. And then before the meeting, we will all be given a final report on transaction.
You'll be given a final report on transaction. We will come to you with the recommendation of the Planning and Programming Committee regarding whether or not to adopt the transaction plan and then approve the issuance for the call for projects.
So what's the date of the PPC meet?
PPC meets Wednesday, October the 4th at 10 a.m.
And where's our next meeting?
Our next meeting.
The authority's next meeting is October the 12th.
When would the draft be available?
The draft of the transaction plan? Oh, it's currently available. It's on the website, and we can provide you hard copies as well. Yes.
Or visit www.
I didn't think that was the final.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not final until we. Yes.
It's the final draft.
It's the final draft. Thank you, Ms. Hines.
Any further discussion? Okay. Great. Now, 5-year strategic planning update.
So, Mr. Chairman, back in the fall of 2014, I met with the authority members regarding the roles and responsibilities of the authority, the vision for the authority, and really to address the question that Mayor Parrish raised several times, what does the authority want to be when it grows up? As a result of those meetings, I sought to develop a strategic plan, 5-year strategic plan, because I felt that that was enough for us to undertake at this particular point in time. And just to give you an overview of the timeline, I wanted to note that back in April of 2016, we held a work session with the authority. It was an all-day work session to develop draft, vision, and goals for your strategic plan. That next month, we held a work session with MBTA staff and your staff, the Regional Jurisdiction and Agency Coordinating Committee, to provide feedback and input on the draft vision statement that was the output of the work session with the authority members. In July of 16, we held a follow-up work session with the staff. September of that same year, you adopted your vision and goal statement for your strategic plan. And then January of 2017 through August, I've worked with my staff to try and the RJAC to try to refine this PowerPoint, what you see in front of you today regarding the strategies and action steps. And I do want to note that we've done this concurrently all while working on your long-range transportation plan update. So it's been an enormous task, and your staffs have been very, very great to work with as well. And lastly, at the October 31st RJAC meeting, we did send it out for review. Again, an overview, the purpose is under the provisions of the authorities enabling legislation and subsequent applicable laws to set overall goals for the authority over the next 5 years and develop a plan to achieve them. Under your enabling legislation, you can toll, you can construct, you can purchase right away, and I'm not saying do all of that. I'm just reminding you of some of the things that you can do under your enabling legislation. As a result of this strategic plan, we intend for progress to be reported on an annual basis to do some sort of check-in. Similar to how we have your annual report to let you know how we've done, we will have a progress update regarding the strategic plan. Just a reminder, the vision statement that you adopted says the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority leads Northern Virginia into a transportation future equipped with multimodal transportation options for the community. They advance the overall quality of life, environment, and economic prosperity for the region. Using innovation, partnerships, and collaboration, the authority delivers effective long-term planning, transparent policy processes and decision-making, as well as efficient allocation of critical transportation resources, which advance projects to move Northern Virginia forward as a preeminent region in the country. That was a mouthful, but that was your adopted vision statement. And I do want to note that there are some parallels with your vision statement regarding transactions. I won't read the specific goal components, but you did have four goals that you adopted: regional prosperity, mobility, innovation, and funding. So now my staff will just go over the high points of each of the additional goals regarding regional prosperity, mobility, innovation, and funding. And this is Sarah Camille Hipp. I think most of you, I've introduced her to you, but she's your new communications manager.
Okay, so regional prosperity, that's fostering regional prosperity. That for us means investing in a sustainable transportation network that supports economic growth while balancing quality of life. Economic growth and transportation are integrally linked, as I'm sure you guys realize, and as are traffic congestion and quality of life. So we are focused on continuing regional prosperity, improving multimodal transportation in a way that enhances quality of life. There are things that NVTA has done in the regional prosperity world, but there's a way we can make a bigger impact. NVTA has conducted research and a public survey to better understand our regional transportation network and how that impacts economic growth and quality of life. But we can also enhance our communications and key audiences when it comes to the link between regional prosperity and multimodal transportation investments. Okay, we're live again. So there's two main strategy areas with regional prosperity: regional coordination and advocacy and education. The regional coordination strategy focuses largely on coordinating with the business community and our member jurisdictions. So we have four action items that coordinate with the regional coordination strategy. That's meeting with economic development groups in our jurisdictions, meeting with at least one chamber of commerce in each of the nine jurisdictions. Member jurisdictions, and meeting with the Greater Washington Board of Trade. And we have conducting an independent research that looks at the economic impact analysis and a public opinion survey. In the advocacy and education strategy area, we are looking at boosting our communications efforts to our key target audiences that are listed there. That includes Northern Virginia residents, the business community, Northern Virginia Assembly members, local elected officials, Northern Virginia congressional caucuses, and additional stakeholders.
That's where I have my question. That includes lobbying. Code 2, where is that?
The message, the word messaging?
I would say yes. We want to make sure that that's, we put the Northern Virginia General Assembly members there to try to cover that.
Can I raise one other issue? You know, when we, I thought we did such a good job when we were doing all the survey work at the beginning of transactions. And I have this memory that you reached out to nonprofits and to people who may, in fact, be working with the folks whose prosperity is lagging. And it seems to me in this coordination piece that capturing a way to have that conversation somewhat regularly with folks who deal with those folks would be a value added.
Thank you.
All right, yes. Now I'll turn it over to Sheree to talk about mobility.
Thank you. Mobility, this is a core business of this agency, this organization here, moving people more efficiently. So the two main segments of this goal would be planning and programming the regional funds. So transaction and transaction update that we are almost completing now, that we need to continue and moving on, that becoming that being the foundation for more sound investments, that becomes our upcoming 6-year program. So those two activities will continue. We need to continue that. Another aspect, if you remember, the authority has adopted principles of long-term benefits back in 2014, and this body has requested the staff, asked the staff to dwell more on that and come up with some more implementable practices. So as part of the 6-year program, we intend to do a very high-level overview of those principles and try to flesh out that a little bit further. These planning and programming activities that we do, we already collaborate with all the member jurisdictions and agencies and the regional and state agencies as well, and we want to continue that and enhance that. In addition, what these activities that we have been doing, one thing we think we can do a little bit more or better is to communicate that to the public and our stakeholders to show that what activities we are doing and how that is impacting the Northern Virginians. Now, moving on to the next slide, the mobility, the major strategies we talk about here is, number one, the planning and programming aspects, and then advocacy, education, and reaching out to the public. The action, obviously, we want to continue the transaction and the 6-year program. We want to do it in a bit more data-driven process than what we have been doing. The transaction update, you saw that it's been a lot more data-driven than in the past. We want to continue that and collect more data or analyze better in better way to come up with better solutions and feed that back into the planning and programming process. As part of that, we would like to create some performance dashboards of our travel patterns and condition trends, and then add that as part of maybe a supplement to the annual report, so you can see over the years how those trends and patterns are changing. On the awareness and on the awareness side, I already mentioned communication, because that is one important aspect. We do all this great planning and programming. We already programmed nearly $1 billion, but we want to communicate that in a better way to the public, that how this is affecting them or improving their travel patterns. Now I hand it over to Casper.
Thank you, Sheree. Innovation, I recall very clearly from that first work session in April of 2016, that for those of you who were present and participated in that, how rapidly authority members gravitated towards technology as an opportunity and a challenge for the region. And with that, we have the goal of innovation, which is for the authority to lead the region in planning and advocating for emergency transportation technologies which address future transportation, workplace, and development trends. Many planning bodies around the country are grappling with the issue of innovation and technology and emerging transportation trends right now and how that factors into our long-range planning as well as our short-term programming funds. So there's certainly uncertainty that disruptive technologies are affecting the future of transportation. Transaction analyzed this in some depth to kind of get a sense as to what different futures might mean in terms of the authority's investment decisions. It's crucial that the authority is ready to innovate in anticipation of this emerging transportation technology and related trends so as to continue to invest in the best transportation solutions. We hope that under this strategic plan, the authority will analyze and identify these technologies and help the region to become a leader in kind of coming up with the best transportation preferences and living and working conditions transform in response. And finally, in terms of the context for this goal, we see a very, very strong need for increased collaboration and communication to kind of fill a vacuum, as it were, between what's going on at the national and state level and the key stakeholders to make sure that we help the region take advantage of these technologies and help the authority to achieve its vision and goals through innovation. Sri mentioned how transaction is a part of the authority's core business, and many of the actions that are listed here, the strategies and actions that are listed here, feature in the recommendations that are included in the draft transaction plan. So this is very highly consistent with the long-term plan. The regional coordination strategy is really more focused on existing technology and making greater use of existing technology. And you may recall a couple of months ago, the authority joined with VDOT and DRPT to submit a joint application for a federal grant to kind of kickstart an initiative called Integrated Corridor Management, ICM, and its associated regional component. So I think already by doing that, the authority is showing it's kind of at the leading edge of deploying technology to achieve the region's vision and goals. Multimodal regional transportation planning, the strategy here is looking more to the future. We started to do this, as I mentioned, in transaction, and a lot of those actions, as I mentioned, are things that we would hope to be able to do as we kind of move forward and keep monitoring these changes and what these changes are actually meaning around the country. Finally, with respect to the advocacy and education strategies, it's focused on both citizens and businesses in the region, industry partners, the transportation community, and MBTA stakeholders to kind of work to help information exchange, to listen and to learn and to educate and to do what needs to be done to make sure that we capture the benefits of the transportation technologies and mitigate any possible negative impacts as well. With that, I shall hand over to Mr. Longley to talk about funding.
And Mike is batting cleanup regarding funding.
My immediate goal is to be brief. The long-term goals we'll go into right now. As you are aware, the authority is getting ready to celebrate its 15-year anniversary. And but things did change in 2013, when House Bill 2313 was passed. With that, in that very short amount of time, the goal of transparency, stewardship, and accountability has been ever present even before it was defined as a goal. It was built in by your leadership. It was built into the status DNA. So it makes sense that our first strategy that we're presenting is transparency, stewardship, and accountability. The first part of the action group that you'll see are many things that the authority has already put in place. Very strong financial procedures, achieve a very high bond rating. A lot of these things we are, within a very short amount of time, are putting into maintenance mode. But we want to make sure that there will be an ever-present laser focus on their importance, and because it's so fundamental to the future plans of the authority. Even so, the authority will continue to evolve and grow. So in the action plans you see for stewardship, you also see an effort to build the organizational capacity of the authority. A lot of the previous goals make statements to that. All of the four goals actually blend together. They are not four independent silos. The third strategy is regional coordination. It's important to note that House Bill 2313, actually doesn't preclude other sources of funds. We focus on that, and we need to be mindful as the authority looks in this area to make sure that everything that is done is additive to the regional efforts, that none of the activities that are listed under this goal actually undercut jurisdictional efforts to do the same thing. There is somewhat of a zero-sum game when it comes to funding, but the authority can add value, we think, to federal and state grants and enlarge the effort for the overall region. Finally, why is advocacy and education a strategy under the funding goal? It is actually reflective of the importance of the strong ties to the General Assembly, other regional stakeholders, other members of the community, in order to build confidence and consensus to enable the authority to meet the evolving needs of the region. And with that, I'll turn the presentation back to Ms. Beck.
So, in summation, we have your draft 5-year strategic plan. Tonight was just a refresh because it's been a while since we've actually talked to you, the members, regarding your visions and goals, and put that into place regarding what we're going to be proposing for strategy and action. But this plan does allow the authority to advance and expand its capacities and capabilities under the law as you mature in readiness for the increasingly interesting challenges that lie ahead. And I do want to note that the overarching theme you'll see regarding your strategic plan and draft is regional coordination and advocacy and education. Because again, although you're 15 this year, you know, you're a teenager, you're still new when it comes to having funds to implement these regional transportation projects.
Just a comment on the final provision under funding. Work with the business community to protect and enhance funding legislation. I recall very distinctly the tremendous struggle to increase our transportation funding under Governor McDonald. We enacted the largest tax increase in Virginia history. We compounded that in Northern Virginia by having the tax increase layered upon another tax increase, and all of this was under the commitment, such as political commitments are worth, that this was going to fund our transportation for a generation. And I would just say that, you know, while I understand where you're going, and I'm all in favor of protecting what we've got. I don't have a problem with that. But you will not find me assisting in enhancing the transportation funding beyond what has been put in place, because a generation from now come back and ask me again, and I'll be on your side maybe, but not for a generation. That was the commitment. And that's what I'm standing on, and I'm not going back to the voters asking for more money.
And thank you for that, Senator Black. I do want to note that this isn't prescriptive for HB 2313. The authority, you also make funding recommendations on some federal funding sources, and in the event there's legislation on the federal level that the authority may have an opportunity to weigh in on. We just didn't, I want to be clear that this isn't prescriptive for HB 2313, that there are additional funding sources that you're responsible for making funding recommendations on, such as CMAQ and RSTP, but we didn't want to create a box solely around HB
2313. I understand. No, I really, I'm just sort of expressing my position. I understand what you're getting at, and I just would like to make it clear what my position is on that.
Any questions, discussions, please, Quinn?
So the reference to long-term benefits, is this referring to the issue of jurisdictional equity?
Yes. Now, that is prescriptive to HB 2313, where the long-term benefits provision is in the legislation, speaking to that localities over time must receive their proportional share. What we've, you did adopt principles, long-term benefit principles or benefits for assessing, principles for assessing long-term benefits in December of 14. They are principles. We do plan to do an overview as part of the development of your six-year program, but it is a high-level overview.
Because I have to say, in the case of my jurisdiction, more significant donors to this, and we don't see the equity so far. So the sooner we get it, just the better from our standpoint.
Yeah, good morning. Just one comment. This is fine. The one suggested maybe enhancement would be on the regional prosperity, which is a lot about, you know, our economic growth. The coordination, you list a lot of the chambers and all, but another place to probably coordinate is the NVTC, the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, which is really the voice of transit in the region and has done a lot of those economic analyses and studies. And it's one of their, you know, many areas of expertise. So you could probably, you know, there and then you coordinate with on a range of things, but particularly as it relates to the economic benefits of transit, I mean, that's the sort of go-to in the region.
Thank you, Chair.
Executive Director's report.
So Executive Director's report, I will be brief. Again, the authority, you turn 15. We are planning a 15th anniversary celebration on November 9th, which is the evening of your regularly scheduled authority meeting at the Sherwood Community Center. Also, we are holding a ribbon cutting for the Route 28 corridor improvements. For those of you who may remember, you did a groundbreaking on Route 28, I think it was May 11th. 2015. So now we've come full circle regarding doing the ribbon cutting because those improvements have been completed. And that's all I have.
Chairman's comments, just a couple of quick observations. As was mentioned earlier, our next meeting is a lot of agenda items, two very big ticket items, adoption of the transaction and call for projects for the six-year plan. I'm kind of a vampire. I can meeting runs late. I'm wide awake. Is there a desire to bump the meeting forward to 6:30? Just in the interest of it, maybe a longer meeting? No.
The date is the 12th.
Is it the 12th. I'm not saying we should, but if someone wants to, this would be the chance to say so.
I'd be fine with that.
That would be okay. Fine with me.
Okay, hearing no objection. Let's move October's meeting to 6:30 rather than 7, just in the interest of not getting out here at a very late hour.
12.
Right, correct.
We'll send out a notice.
The other one that I'll just remind people of, because it's a busy week, and this will happen like 2 years every 7 years, so this will be the last time it happens. It happened last year. Our November meeting is 2 days after Election Day. I don't think any current authority members are on the ballot this year.
We do have.
Oh, the ballot. I'm sorry.
There's two of us.
Two. Well, and so the point being, if there's conflict, I mean, just be aware. You know.
But it's the Thursday, not the Tuesday.
It's the Thursday. The election is Tuesday. One year we had a challenge that everyone was on the ballot and wanted to leave for vacation the next day. We had to scramble for quarter. And I get that. I'm totally. I didn't, but I usually go on vacation.
Mr. Chairman, we have people trying to give us a vacation.
Yeah, you'd be pretty tough. We'd be nice and rested after 2 days going to the meeting.
Yeah, I need to see the therapist.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last little piece of. Yeah.
Does the November meeting start at 6:30?
The November meeting is different.
It is different.
This is a great opportunity to remind people.
It is different. So right now, you do have a business meeting scheduled. We propose we will have right now the adoption of your strategic plan as your the agenda item, and of course, meeting minutes. We were looking to actually bump that meeting up as well, but I hadn't had it.
That's right. We're going to do that one at 6:30. It'll be a very brief business meeting.
We want to preview the legislative package at that meeting. That's part of why I'm asking.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. The point is, it's designed to be a brief meeting followed by our 15th anniversary celebration. And I think we have now contacted all but two former authority members.
Yes.
One of whom we don't even aren't 100% sure we know who this person is. But there was a former DRPP director that we just can't find anything on. But anyway, so this could be interesting gathering people. And last just piece, a little piece of trivia. We referenced that this is the 50th anniversary year of the authority. Our actual anniversary is July 1. The first day we existed was July 1, 2002. So that anniversary is 10 already passed. Tonight, however, is an auspicious anniversary for the authority. Does anyone know what it is? Today is the 11th anniversary of the adoption of Transaction 2030. Which led to the passage of HB 3202.
Oh my God, I forgot that.
And this also has a side note, it's the only MBTA event of any type I've ever gotten my wife to come to. And that's because it's also our wedding anniversary, and Dave Snyder was the chairman at the time, and I was going to skip the meeting, take my wife out to dinner, and he promised me that I could come in and vote for Transaction. And then
leave.
So she came, and we came, and I voted for trans. And then I didn't leave. I stayed for the rest of the meeting, and then I went to dinner.
So, Mr. Moody, your wife reminded you of that.
I'm still married.
She remembers this the third day. That's the anniversary.
So the authority is like 3 months older than my marriage. And we went out to dinner last night. I tried to convince her. I tried to say, well, how about we just do it again? Like, you come tonight, and we'll go out to dinner afterwards. And she's like, you're taking me out last night. The kids had tackle on that, so women's birthday. Right. And,
before you adjourn, yes. Matt, there's a lot to be done next month. And of course, the Finance Committee meets next week at 1 o'clock. We invite everyone, but certainly the Finance Committee members, there's a lot to do, a lot on the agenda. We'll see you at 1 o'clock next Thursday.
Any other business come before the authority this evening? Hearing none, we adjourn.